السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers. Before I left, I was discussing this ayat of the Quran Sharif, and one of my friends reminded me this morning that Maulana, you must continue with that ayat because you had only discussed the first part of that ayat. Although I had intended to speak on the recent trip and especially in the present time and present day, our problems and how these problems seems to be surfacing everywhere, and when evil actions and deeds become prevalent at the marakis, at the headquarters, then the branches also become affected. If the root begins to decay, then we will find that the branches, the fruits and everything will have taken an effect from that decaying of the root. So unfortunately, although we do not go to look for these type of weaknesses and problems, but when they come before your very eyes, then you can't even ignore them. So at the markaz, that is Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Tayyibah, when certain things become very prevalent and common, which are nothing short of haram, so then the effects of that, the winds will blow them through all over the world. And we will find that the same thing will affect us even here. But then who is it that is causing these or doing these evil actions and deeds? It's no one else but us. So we can't really blame them. The hajis that come from all over the world, the people that come to make umrah from all over the world, there's no law that forces them to indulge in those type of sins. We do not go there for this purpose of committing those sins. So if we say that if it is prevalent in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, then what harm is there if we also indulge in it? It is not a sensible and a reasonable and an acceptable excuse. So inshallah, in the Monday night majlis I will discuss that. But here what I wish to get across to you very strongly and firmly is that we, when we go there, we should not look for what they are doing. We should look at the Quran and the Sunnah. The deen is not what is being done in Makkah Sharif or Madinah Sharif. There is no deen. Yes, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Sahaba kiram were there, then if a person wanted to know that how did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam eat, how did he drink, how did he read namaz, how did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conduct his life as a businessman, as a father, as a husband, so it was possible to ask the sahabas there, and that we could have said was deen. But these days to say that if something is happening in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, so then that is deen and we also can practice, then that is not correct. Because we know ourselves, if we have to question our own hearts, that is it correct what they are doing? If they are watching evil and haram on television screens there in the rooms, and the worst of all films, because if you read the newspapers, they will give you a whole page of what films are going to be shown on that day. Ah, I wish we had only had a little bit of respect for Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's resting place and himself. That just a few meters away from there, you walk into the hotel foyers, Or you ask those people that are sleeping there, that what were you doing there? At night, what were you watching? So now we will not say that that is deen because it is being done in Makkah Sharif or Madina Sharif. Those were homes of Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in. Those places where the hotels are today were homes of the Sahabas, the companions of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam had warned them long ago in his time that he can see the fitnas pouring on those roofs of their homes, like how rain falls on our roofs. I explained that in some other majlis, in some other talk of mine, that at that time they couldn't really understand that what are those fitnas that are going to pour. So besides the other fitnas which have already poured, but one of the major fitnas of today, it is pouring on those same homes, although they are not homes anymore of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. They are now hotels that are there. But if you have to look at the number of dish there and the number of things that are haram that have entered those hotels and those rooms and those places, then we will believe and will have yaqeen that what my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said 1400 years ago, how true it is, that those fitnas are pouring there. Via the satellite television, it is pouring in there. Every kind of filth can be seen in there. But one friend of mine asked me there, he says, Molana, when we come here, then we can see lots of people are clean shaven, lots of people have got their pants hanging below their ankles, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited, and they are indulging in this sin and in that sin. Then in our hearts, there comes a little bit of superiority complex that we are better than them, a holier than thou attitude. So what should we do in such a case? So I mentioned to them, those few brothers that were sitting there, I said that what we should do is this, that dislike that sin, but don't dislike that person. Because we are in Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, and these people are very fortunate, because they are going to go after a little while to the Multazam and say, Ya Allah, forgive all my sins. Or that person will go to the Rosa Mubarak and he will read the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Inshallah, I will give an explanation, and my topic seems to be moving again in that direction, but inshallah on Monday night we will discuss that. So here in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers will indeed eventually win through, as it is translated, or mean they will succeed, or another meaning is that as if they have already succeeded. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that whosoever will have these sifats and these attributes in his life, then Allah Ta'ala will definitely give that person falah. And if I recall correctly, I was discussing that in salat, one of the conditions is that the person must have khushu in his salat. That when the person is making his salat, then his body parts must come to a standstill. There must be no movement now. He must be concentrating on his salat. He must imagine and picture that he is before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, where he has to answer for all his doings. This person must not unnecessarily start scratching his beard and moving his hat up and down and checking at his watch and looking at the sky and checking on the right hand side who's standing next to him and on the left side who's standing next to him. Now in salat, if he's going to do all these things, then it shows that this person hasn't got khushu in his life, in his salat. And if he hasn't got khushu in his salat, then he is not going to get success. So if this is condition for success, that you must have khushu in that salat, there must be humility in that salat, then what would we think of those people who don't have salat at all in their lives? The person who doesn't have salat at all, then where can he, that person, even think of success? We are always saying that come towards the masjid, hayya ala salat, come towards salat, hayya ala falah, come towards success. So we are being called towards this, but Allah Ta'ala's kalam makes this a condition that even if you come towards salat and you are in the masjid, then too you must have khushu in the salat. And this khushu will not just come like that. This khushu will come with a little bit of effort. But if the person 5 minutes before coming to Salat, he has watched a television program, he has watched a football match, he has watched a cricket match, he has watched some porn movie, or he has seen some other filth, and then he dashes to his Salat and Allahu Akbar, then what kind of khushu will he ever have in that Salat? Without exaggeration, I am telling you this, that there are so many people, and I've mentioned this in my previous talks too, but I don't remember where I say what, that there are so many people that are now acknowledging. They say, Maulana, indeed it is true, and now we are sick, we are suffering from this illness. We do not know how to get rid of this from our lives now, because we have watched so much of haram that it has embedded itself on our hearts. Many a time when we make Allahu Akbar and we go into ruku, the filthy picture comes in front of us. And sometimes in sajda, you say, even the private parts of those that we had watched on television come in front of us. If this is the state of our namaz, that we bring all that filth right into our sajdas, then where can we talk about khushu in our salat? So we have to prepare for that salat before entering that salat. The sunnat namazes that we have been told to make before the asr and before the isha and also before the fajr and zuhr. Now these sunnat namazes are a preparation for that khushu in that salat. That if we are going to make a preparation, that come little early and start making some istighfar, some tawbah, and then enter namaz, then we will have khushu in that salat. And when we are going to have khushu in that salat, then it will bring peace and satisfaction and contentment in the heart. Without that, we are not even going to get that. So it has become conditional according to the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the person must have khushu. Now it's a subject on its own. I do not wish to go into all the details. But if we have to look around, I had completed my sunnat salat and there was a person standing in front of me in the Haram Sharif and we were waiting for the first salat. And then his telephone rang, his cell phone rang in his pocket. Now this is another major sickness and disease of our time. That we program it onto all those musical tones. And then where does it ring? It rings in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How much of hurt and injury we must be causing to our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we say that we must just put on a few lights in our homes and we have shown our love and muhabbat for Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All these telephones which are programmed onto musical tones, whose sunnat is that? Sunnat of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Out of necessity we have to keep telephones. Nobody says haram. Or sometimes absent-mindedness, the person just forgot to switch it off when he was in the masjid. That is also excused. We can't say that every person did it intentionally. But the majority who are entering the masjid, the telephones are programmed, all those musical tones are going to play, and they are standing in just next to the Rosa Mubarak or in front of the Rosa Mubarak. And when it rings, then quickly is trying to switch it off. Disturbs the whole line that is there, concentrating and meditating and making salat and salam on Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You think that kind of salat and salam or that kind of presence or that kind of ziyarat of the Rosa Mubarak is going to be accepted? Then again in the Haram Sharif from this end to that end, it's nothing else. So this person was standing in front of me and his phone rang. So he made like that first for a little while, he found the phone, and then after that he looked at it properly, at which number, who has telephoned him, and then he pressed a few buttons and then put it back in his pocket. Now is this khushu in salat? Will this kind of salat bring success? Even if 1 billion people read this kind of salat, we will still not see any kind of success. If 1 billion people also have to read salat, but they have to read this kind of salat, that the person is fidgeting around with his telephone and picking it up and looking at the number and then pressing some buttons. So that kind of salat is not going to bring any kind of success. So we have to bring this, and it is not a difficult thing also, and it's not that easy also. Some concentration is required, a little bit of effort is required, but we cannot say that it is impossible, because millions of people have read salat with khushu, and even today you can read salat with khushu. Yes, the mind is a highway. I keep saying this, that the mind is a highway, and thoughts will come. On the national highway you will get trucks, you will get buses, you will get scooters, you will get donkeys, you get mules, and you get even trucks that are carrying pigs. So let them all pass by. You do not stop and start concentrating there. If those thoughts just come, just ignore them. Do not even begin to fight them, because those are the whisperings of shaitan. Shaitan does not want us to read salat with khushu, because he knows that if you're going to read salat with khushu, then you may reach such heights that it will take him a long, long time to bring you back from there. So ignore those thoughts altogether. Shaitan is the dog which has been rejected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. and he has promised that he is going to try and mislead the people. So therefore we should immediately concentrate and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or turn towards Allah ta'ala. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has given the same thing, that it is a rejected dog. Now if the dog begins to bark when we go to somebody's house, then we don't stand there and start barking back at the dog. If you're going to stand there and start barking back at the dog, it's not going to help. What we do is press the bell, and then the owner, the master of the house, will come out and he will give some sign language and the dog will sit down and we will go through comfortably. So when the shaitan is whispering, ignore that shaitan and concentrate immediately. Make rujoo ila Allah. Bring your mind back into the salat. Read those surahs which we don't normally read. If we are so used to reading Inna Atoina Kalkawthar and Qul Huwa Allah, then change that. Read some other surahs, so that we need a bit of concentration. Learn the meanings of a few surahs. But this is how we will bring khushu in salat. And when you're going to get khushu in salat, then after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, this is one of the sifats, that the mu'mineen, if they have this one sifat, it is one of those which will bring success. As I mentioned earlier, that it is a subject on its own, which inshallah some other time, if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, we'll discuss. But after that Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِذُونَ, and they shun all vain talk. And it's not only talk, even action. It has both meanings. That means anything that is vain, anything that is absolutely useless, something that will not help this person in this world, in the akhirat, something that will not help him in his business, in his home, in his personal life, is not going to give him any physical strength or health. Nothing, absolutely useless, time wasting, as we say. And time itself is life. So this person is wasting his life, is burning his life, is engaging and indulging in those things which are vain, which are futile, which are absolutely useless. As in that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I do not recall when I discussed, but in that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, alamatu iradillahi ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, alamatu iradillahi ta'ala anil abdi ishtighaluhu fima la yahni, that when the person begins to occupy himself in absolutely useless and vain actions and deeds, then that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away his rahmat from him. Now we want rahmat. Which person can say he's not in need of rahmat? And suddenly such things happen that the person starts running towards the masjid. He starts making dua. He starts running to the Ahlullah and say, make dua for me. The person starts reading the Quran Sharif. Because he was not anticipating, he was not expecting these type of things to happen in his life. The person was enjoying himself. And when somebody was mentioning these type of hadiths, he says, well, that we have been always listening to from these maulanas and ulama, because they have nothing else to do. So that person was quite content and happy. But suddenly such a bolt hits the person, that the person now suddenly starts getting up and starts running to salat and running to duas and running for all kinds of ibadat. So before that time comes, we must realize that let us not spend our time in those things which are lagh, which are absolutely useless and futile. Now this, what can I do? But it brings me back again to the same trip, that at present, because of the World Cup, there was nothing but World Cup talk amongst the youth especially, and even in the Haram Sharif, the elders also. If you are sitting there and you are listening and you know a little bit of Arabic, they want to know which team is playing and how and when will they be playing and who are the players, and it was nothing but World Cup, World Cup. Even in the newspapers, there was nothing but a projection and an encouragement that everybody should be involved in this World Cup. So much so that I read an article that the Education Ministry, they gave a circular that was sent around, in which they said that the entire country, all the students, they must be given full encouragement to be behind the national team. And one of the persons wrote an article there in which he says that the success of the national team in the football cup, Saudi Arabia's team, is a success for the ummah. It's victory for the ummah. It's honor for the ummah. Therefore it is essential and necessary that every Muslim of the country give full backing and support to this national team of this. When I read that, then it really hurt me. That when there's jihad taking place, where our little children and women are not spared, where they are pleading, where they are crying, say, please, oh you Muslim countries, look at our plight, look at our condition, come to our assistance. But nobody is interested. And at such a time, is that victory for the Ummah that you win a football match? So I could not help it, but with the Multazam make dua, that, oh Allah, bring such humiliation upon this football team that they don't raise their heads again in this World Cup. And I just was on the flight and came to Jian Smuts. One brother tells me that they lost 8-0. They should have rather played basketball, was better. But at least Haram Sharif will be quiet. Makkah, Madinah Sharif will be quiet. And all that plans and preparations that they had made, that if we are successful, then we are going to have this show and that dance and that jumping and dancing on those cars. And it just becomes like a complete chaotic state, as if that was the only thing that we were really born for, and that is our maqsad of life. But then I wish that I had not wasted that dua of mine on this football. Because if I had made some other dua at that time, probably it might have been more beneficial. So people can disagree that the Muslim Ummah suffered. What suffering did the Muslim Ummah get? Nothing. In fact, the Muslim Ummah got honor that they were wiped out, or they got that embarrassment. Because the whole country, which was supposed to be the head of the Muslim nations, and as I said, that is the markaz, that is the headquarters. And if that is the kind of attitude that they will have, and that is the kind of craze that they are going to suffer from, then the effects of that will be in South Africa, in China, in Japan, and everywhere in the world. And we can see that that is exactly what is happening. That our youth and our adults, our men and even our women folk, it seems as if it has become an obsession. Nothing but this World Cup, World Cup. What is that World Cup? And then we will say that no, the ulamas are saying sports are haram. Sports are not haram. If the person for physical health and strength and energy, if the person is doing some physical exercise or is playing some game in which he is going to get some strength and health, then still we can discuss that if that game is permissible, then it will be permissible to engage in that. So nobody has said that that is haram. In fact, that is what we are saying. Rather engage in those kind of sports and those kinds of play and those kind of permissible and halal entertainment which will give the person some kind of strength and health and knowledge and education. But in this, when the person has watched hours and hours and hours for days and days, when the person has watched the different teams that have played, at the end of that now ask one simple question, what did I benefit from this watching for so many hours? Is it not futile? Let us ask ourselves a sensible question. That all this watching that I did, what did it bring into my heart? Did it bring peace? Did it bring contentment? Did it bring a connection with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did it bring that sukoon that which I am desirous of? Did it bring that happiness for which I am asking everybody to make dua? It can't. How can it ever bring? So after hours and hours of futile viewing, this is the conclusion. So this is just some happened to be connected with this ayat again, that they shun vain talk and deeds and actions, that they do not indulge in this. They are Muslims, they are believers in Allah Ta'ala. They are mu'minun. They want to get victory, they want to get satisfaction, they want to get success. Then their success lies in obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not saying that take the Quran Sharif, read the whole day. Take the tasbih and read the whole day. Sit in the masjid and make wazifa all day. Nothing. Lead an absolutely normal life. But where will we find time to go and visit our sick family members and friends and relatives and the Muslims and others who are in the hospitals or who are on the sick beds? Where will we find the time to go for janazah salats? Where will we find the time to make tilawat and make other ibadat and zikr, etc., if we are going to be occupied 24 hours on this television screen? As if one loss is the loss of the world. And especially, as I say, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Tayyibah, or we can say Saudi Arabia as a whole, because that is what the newspapers project, then there it was as if the victory of the Saudi football team was the victory of the Ummah. And a failure of the football team is a failure of the Ummah. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Yes, if in the battlefield, if they went and showed their skills and the training and the jihad ability, and if there they used their arms and ammunition against the enemy forces in the light of the proper direction of the Quran and Sunnah, And they, if they were successful also, they were successful. And if they lost also, they were successful. Because if they won, they would have been, then they would have been ghazis. And if they were martyred, then they would have been shaheeds. That is where the victory of the ummah lies. The time too seems to fly very, very fast. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq to understand the purpose and the maqsad for our creation and for our existence in this world. Inshallah, on Monday night in the majlis, I will discuss the other parts. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Make dua that Allah ta'ala help and assist our mujahideen and the entire Muslim ummah. Wa akhir da'wana.